we're still on the ABC of evangelism. 1 Timothy chapter number 2, verses 3 to 4. For this is good. 1 Timothy chapter number 2, verses 3 to 4. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God, our Savior, who will have all men to be saved and to come unto the knowledge of the truth. The knowledge of the truth. This is the will of God. He wants men coming to the knowledge of the truth. He wants them saved and coming to the knowledge of the truth. That is his delight. And of course, in Luke's account, it makes us see how that God rejoices at one sinner saved. Look at that. Turn to Luke 15 verse 4. Why is this so important? Because it's the will of God. It's something that matters so much to him. It matters so much to him that his creation is saved. And not just saved, they come to the knowledge of God. They come to the knowledge of God. Luke 15. They come to the knowledge of God. Reaching the lost and causing men to come to the knowledge of the truth is God's delight. He wills it. He wills it. He has a desire for it. You know, many people have different wills, right? Yeah. How many of us have a will to go to school? You have a will to go to school. Okay. That's a will. It's something you have a desire for. You have a will to leave the country. Yeah, that's a will. Oh, why are you laughing? You don't know if you should lift up your hand. That's easier. He says he doesn't know if he should lift up. Okay, let me ask again. Just how many of us have a will to leave the country? Oh, you don't have will to leave. Okay. Don't worry, I'm not saying anything. Hey, if you say you are leaving, pastor will mark you. Oh, you can leave the country. We will be here, we'll be waiting for you. You go and come. You know, I was watching a certain prophecy today, and the prophet was prophesying. I mean, I didn't stumble on it. I actually realized that I took a few of you somewhere. We went to see him. So I rather he went to a man of God's church. So I said, oh, let me just watch what he went to do. So I just followed. And he called someone. He said that, hey, wo, nyankopon wa je opa. He speaks to you. So, nyankopon wa je opa. Okay. So, wo, sa bombin na, ye ko bombin no. And I was say, oh. So I said, yay! The guy has narrowly missed it. He was like, yeah, he was supposed to be inside. Possibly bombed. But God has saved him anyway. So that's a will. Will to leave a country, will to marry. Will. wheels, different types of wheels. It's good. Those who are quiet, they don't have wheels. Okay. See them like they don't want her. You have a wheel. You have a wheel. You want a boyfriend? You wheel for a boyfriend. Lift up your hand. You see, I was thinking about it today. I said that I have to teach you people how to flow with the ministry of a pastor and the ministry of a prophet. They are two entirely different things. A pastor is loving, understanding, corrects, carries, travels with, bears you in your pain, understands your, it's like there's nothing I can do for you. It's like to be there for you. Those who you smell amongst them, pray for you, expecting that everything will happen. The prophet was not like that. The prophet said, "Mama, I didn't think I was so." The two are not the same. The flow is not the same. The flow is not the same. And truly, he has done it. My pastor will say, you know, don't worry. Let's believe God. Let's trust God. Let's pray. Let's do this. You have to know the difference. And the difference is going to be seen in how you approach the vessel. Yeah. So for some of you who I've taught you, when you come to me with problems, you start calling me prophet. Prophet. It means that you are stirring a particular well. Not a pastor. A pastor is, we'll suffer together. we'll pray through. We'll, prophet is, hey, the Lord has done it. go. Don't talk to me about it again. See, so sometimes, even me, I'm saying that the mixing is quite interesting, but everything is important. Yeah, because God grows. He does that so you can grow with men as well. But I never thought I was a pastor. I thought I would always be like a prophet only, to just see and know and go. Then I now have to be with people, talking to them, advising them. I said, huh? Praying for them, loving them. I said, prophet, don't have time for. Don't have time for that. In fact, those of you who even knew me before, I was very hard to approach. Back. If you really know me, I think it's Boyki and all of those who really know me. Maybe Seberi, because he was with me. You can't even come to me, like, peacefully. Say, pastor. Say, yes. Pastor. Now when they even go, I don't know whether to say prophet, pastor, whatever. I say, Pascal Bakaraba. Okay, so that was just by the way. So camp meetings will have all of these. It's a compressed. Yeah, it's compressed. We'll just be there. That's how you'll be blessed, because I'll touch on things like that. So God wills that the sinner be saved. He makes us see that reaching the lost is vital to him. Now look at Luke 15, verse 4. Luke 15, verse 4. Wow. Luke 15, verse 4. Luke 15, verse 4. What man of you, having 100 sheep, if he lost one of them, doth not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after that which is lost until he find it? And when he found it, He layeth it on his shoulders, rejoicing. And when he cometh home, he calleth together his friends and neighbors, saying unto them, rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep which was lost. I say unto you that likewise joy shall be in heaven over one sinner that repented more than over 99 just persons which need no repentance. Tells us how beautiful it is to get people who are sinners saved. It brings rejoicing to heaven. That's why you see that I said that you should throw a party for heaven. That's where it comes from. Did you see it? So throw a party. Just do God's show. Throw a party in heaven. So that is God's will. He desires that men be saved. Men are turned from darkness to light. Men are delivered from the power of Satan and are translated into God's family to enjoy of his goodness and his grace and his love. See Ezekiel 18. Let's look at Ezekiel 18. This is very important to the Lord. It matters so much to him. Ezekiel 18, 32. Ezekiel 18, 32. He says, for I have no pleasure in the death of him that dieth, saith the Lord. Wherefore, turn yourselves and live. So God is saying that he has no desire and he has no pleasure in the death of sinners. He wills that all men be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth of the gospel. He doesn't want the sinner to die in his sins. He doesn't want the unrighteous man to remain unrighteous. But rather, he wants the unrighteous man to be turned to a righteous man. Look at Ezekiel chapter 3, verse 11. This must be our desire too. It must be our desire. It must be our desire. It must be our desire. Ezekiel chapter 3, verse 11. It must be our desire. It must be our desire. It must be our desire. Speak in tongues. Speak in tongues. Lord, this is our desire. That men will be saved. We know that you have no pleasure in the death of him that died, said the Lord. And so we're going to be giving ourselves to preaching. To preaching. Pray in the Spirit. 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 Kia pa ta pa ta pa ta pa tu shte. In Jesus' name. Look at Ezekiel chapter 20. Ezekiel chapter 18, verse 21. Ezekiel chapter 18, verse 21. But if the wicked will turn from all his sins that he hath committed, and keep all my statutes, and do that which is lawful, and that which is right, all his transgressions that he hath committed shall not be mentioned unto him in his righteousness, that he had done, he shall live. Now look at verse 23. Have I any pleasure at all that the wicked should die, said the Lord, and not that he should return from his ways and live? He has no pleasure in the death of the sinner or the unbeliever. See chapter 33. Verses 11. Chapter 33. Verses 11. Chapter 33. Verses 11. Say unto them, as I live, saith the Lord God. Can we read together as a church? I have no pleasure in the death of the wicked, but that the wicked turn from his way and live. Do you see that? He has no desire in the death of the wicked. The wicked there will be the unsaved man, right? He has no death. He has no pleasure in the death of the wicked, but that the wicked turn from his way and live. He says, turn ye from your evil ways, for why will ye die? Why would you die in your sin? Why would you die in your sin? So turn ye from your evil or from your wicked ways. Look at 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 9. The Lord suffering long so a sinner can be saved. 2 Peter. Second Peter chapter 3, verses 9. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is what? Long suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Evangelism is important to God. Now we're looking at what it means to him, so we can model our hearts after what really matters to him. He does not take pleasure in the death of the wicked. He wants them to turn from their wicked ways and be saved. How is that going to happen? Except you and I reach out to the lost. And we must be careful to not walk against what he wills. Because there's a way we can be doing several other things and not doing what he wants us to do. So, we're going to be preaching, of course, the gospel, right? The gospel. And I said that the gospel has some facts which we're going to be paying attention to. We are sent to announce, to proclaim, to herald a message. To preach the gospel is what we are supposed to do. To tell it to someone is what we are supposed to do. Because God does not want this happen. He does not want the sinner remaining unsaved. And it brings him joy and his entire kingdom joy, as we see in Luke's account, when one person is brought in into his kingdom. So that should become like a desire for us to do. Something that we're very enthused about. Because it matters so much to God. I'm taking some time to lay out some good foundations so tomorrow we can have some conversations. So preach the gospel. Not preach something else. Preach the gospel. Not argue. Preach the gospel. Not fight about the gospel. Preach the gospel. Now, it is so much important that what we are sent to preach is preached in clarity and simplicity. Preach the gospel. Not about any other believer. Not some other kind of story. The gospel. Preach it simply. Preach it clearly. You know, when you go to preach the gospel, it's not where you show that you know a lot of scriptures. Yes, and so, you know, even 1 Corinthians chapter 15 verse 1 says, the person is not even hearing what you are saying. Oh boy. Yes, 1 Corinthians chapter 15 verse 1. Yes, yeah, Ephesians chapter 2 verse 8. They're just looking at you like this. Did you hear what I said? I'm not sure, but can you repeat it again? You're preaching it in simplicity. You're preaching it in clarity. So that the simplest of minds can understand what you preach. You're sent to herald a message. These facts must be preached. And they must be preached in simplicity and clarity. Preach the gospel. Don't argue about a church. Don't argue about what you saw some church do. No, that's not why you're sent. The emphasis is to preach the gospel. The gospel is what turns people from light, from darkness to his marvelous light. That's what you're sent to preach. You know, sometimes we can be so very much intelligent. We want to preach, but then we want to meet people and say, you know, you've not paid your school fees, eh? Say, yeah, don't worry. Our church, we pay school fees. Oh, just come. One time, I met somebody. I mean, not this church. Actually, this church. So, you know, sometimes they can say, no, the person came to this church, but then the person was going to another church. But then I realized that the reason why, they brought the person to me, it's not this church, they brought the person to me as a pastor, but the person was thinking of going to another church. So I said, so why are you like, going to that church? But that church, I had already been told that they pay school fees. So I was trying to get the heart of why she was very much interested. Now she now goes to the church. I think the queue has full. So she couldn't get the school fees again. Then I met her some time back. And so which church are you now? She said, she's now at another church. So that's what happens when we don't preach what needs to be preached. you will have people wanting to, at least, who doesn't want to just hear anything and have their school fees paid? Again, paying school fees is not wrong. But then, who else will not want that? Even me, I want it. Just say what you have to say. And at the end of the day, I would have my school fees paid. You preach the gospel. You don't preach about, you know, yeah, our church is very nice. No, that's wrong. Oh, come to church. Our church is very nice. No. What Jesus sends us to do is to preach the gospel. And like I said, these facts of the gospel must be presented in simplicity and clarity to the unbeliever. Preach the gospel. Don't show that you know English. The downward afforestation movement. We don't understand what you're saying. Upward displacement, downward movement. We don't understand what you're saying. Simply, in clarity. Do you understand what I'm saying? Simply, in clarity. If your gospel, even if children cannot understand your gospel, I sometimes am amazed. Because your gospel should be very clear. Shouldn't be any complicated. Use high sounding words. Dictionary. The person is standing there, the person is confused. No, simply, clearly. You know, there's a way you can make reference to, you know, the written word. You make reference to the written word. Like you make reference to the written word. Then there's a way you almost sound very puffed up in your knowledge. You must be careful of those. There's a way you sound puffed because you know. Because you have verses. Verses are not wrong. Again, pay attention. I'm not saying that. But it has to come in very clean, clear, simple. Clean, clear, simple. Clean, clear, simple. Clean, clear, simple. And of course, he always uses the foolish things to confound the wise. So the simplicity of your preaching, the clarity with which your preaching comes is very important. Preach the gospel. Don't go and share an experience of Angelina Zambrano. See? So you see my story? It's left to you. If you agree, fine. If you don't agree, Angelina Zambrano. Ah, some of you don't know Angelina. Or Angelica Zambrano. How many of us know Angelica? If you hear the story, you give your life to Jesus Christ. 2 seconds of the story. Hey, those things scare the hell. It scares the hell out of you. So you are sent to preach the gospel. I'm laying emphasis on this so that you know what you are going for. You don't preach your experiences. You're supposed to preach the gospel. Listen, you are not the gospel. Are you listening? I'll show you that maybe tomorrow. You are not the gospel. The gospel has facts that are supposed to be preached. And it will be very important for us to stick to those facts. Now, can there be experiences that also sort of like tell a story about that fact and what is done in your life? Yes. But don't leave the fact out while replacing your life or putting your life in there. Right? The gospel. I'm trying to lay emphasis on this so we know what exactly we are going for. And we know exactly what to say, plus other things that may or may not be said. But we don't lose the target. Yes, I wanted to tell you, I hit a bullseye on Tuesday. So, I told that. I was saying, this thing far. Yes. In the midst of witnesses. I'm not lying. I told you that when I hit a bullseye, I'll tell you. And there it was. Bullseye. So, there's that bullseye. The things we say, they come to pass. So I was saying that I want a bullseye. I'm looking for a bullseye. Because I've thrown. I received bullseye. Yeah. After so many throws. So, the gospel has a bullseye. You can shoot other targets. But then you have to shoot the bullseye. You don't have to leave that part. In fact, that is what is central to what you preach and to what you teach. Don't preach religion, preach the gospel. Don't prove anyone's religion wrong, preach the gospel. Don't preach your experience. Preach the gospel. You can have experiences, but those experiences are not the gospel. Look at something in 2 Corinthians. Can I show you something? 2 Corinthians chapter number 4. 2 Corinthians chapter number 4. Did you have an experience better than Paul? I'm just asking. If not, we would have had all the epistles, Paul continually making reference to his experience in Acts. But he doesn't do that. The gospel is very clear throughout. Are you listening? So, in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses number 5, listen to what it says. For we preach not what? Ourselves. But what? Jesus Christ, what? The Lord. Do you see that? So, who are we going to preach? Now, can we have the evidence of what he's done in our lives? Yes. But, bullseye. He is the emphasis of our message. His love is the emphasis of our message. Oh, you know, if you come to Jesus, you prosper. Mm-mm. No, not yet. Can we just present the facts of the gospel as it is? Can men get to know that he so loves them? They get to know there's a common problem the earth finds themselves in, which is man in sin. And he sends forth himself as his son, coming to die in man's place. Resurrected, or was buried and resurrected. Anyone who believes in these facts receive forgiveness of sin. Remission of sin is what they receive. Can we stick to the facts of the gospel? So, Paul is saying, we preach not ourselves. We preach not ourselves. We preach not ourselves. We preach Jesus. And I'm growing to love him even much more. I believe strongly that our love for him gets more deeper. It widens as the times go by. But if there's anything I've known in these times, it's that I don't even want to be known. I just want him known. So if I'm going to preach, I don't mind just preaching about him. Because he becomes the emphasis of whatever I tell the people. Do you understand what I'm saying? Great. So, you can have certain angels appear to you. No, that's not the message. The message is him. And what he did for the entire human race. That's the emphasis of what we preach. So, we're not preaching ourselves. Come to Jesus so that Every problem in your life, it will stop, okay? Now that's, you know, the truth is that every problem in your life doesn't stop, number one. It just gives you wisdom on how to handle that when they arise. That's actually the difference between a believer and a non-believer. And then in many circumstances, you know what to do. You can pray it out. You can, you know, find your way through it. But then problems can come. So you realize that because we preach wrongly, somebody comes into the church, say, see, I've been suffering in the world. Now here too, it looks like I'm suffering. So where do I go to? And then you are now confused because you told the person that, you know, Jesus can solve your academic issues. And of course, I'm not saying he can't, but then you see that the reason for responding to what you are saying may not be because of Jesus in himself. Maybe because I want my academic issues solved. So if Jesus is the way to solve my academic issues, then why don't I agree to what you preach to me about? But the time Jesus died, you were not in school. There was no physics. Now, can he give wisdom? Yes, we are not talking about wisdom. Wisdom is another conversation. We are saying that we want you to know what he's done. There is a problem that the entire human race faces. We want you to see what it is. We want you to be saved, receive forgiveness of sin. There are other conversations that can come, but that is not the central or the focal point of what we are talking about. Are you listening?
Yes, Pastor.
Yeah, look, when I was in the world, by this time, I would have just had some man to pay my school fees, to pay my hostel, to pay my rent, to even take me to Kempinski. Look, every second October, I have birthday. If somebody takes me out and look at that. Now I've come into Christ. I can't even, can you imagine? I can't even pay. So the person is not aware that yes, he can help you pay your school fees. But if you came to him because your school fees or your Kempinski needs had to be met, then you came in for the wrong reason. Are you listening? You know, Jesus doesn't want people following him for things. Like when you follow me, yeah, you get this. So come. No, he wants you following him for him. That's all. You love him. You know what he's done for you. You understand the depth of what he did for you. And so that's the reason why you follow him. Can we just stick to the facts of the gospel always? Let's not leave the facts out. You know, as a pastor, you can have people healed without them believing in Jesus. Very easy, because healing has nothing to do with believing in Jesus or not. No, healing is for all. Whether someone believes or they don't believe, they can receive their healing. Can Jesus heal? He does heal. And of course, that's quite direct on one of the reasons why he died. But then you can have people receiving miracles when they don't believe in him. It's very easy to receive a miracle from Jesus because he's a good father. He gives liberally to all. He's not saying, hey, you've not given your life to Jesus. Well, no, he gives to all. He gives to all. He gives to all men liberally. So can we all just receive of his liberality? Yes, we all can. Can we keep him central in our evangelisms? They say, if you come to Jesus, you will not suffer again. But see me, I'm still like that. No. There's a change His word brings in your life. And that is true. Now, when you talk of the gospel there, we're going to see it. That's our last scripture before we get out of here. There are tenets to the gospel. And we must not leave those tenets out. You know, sometimes we can think we're smart. See, we gather clothes, right? Then we say, we're going to give the clothes to this area. Then we gather doctors, right? Then we get the doctors to preach. I mean, to do their checks. We get syringes to inject one or two people. Those things are good, not wrong. But we must not lose our focus on the emphasis of the gospel. If not, we become like every humanitarian group that is around. And there's a big difference between a preacher of the gospel and a humanitarian advocate or an activist. The believer must know the difference. And when the gospel is not preached clearly, you're not going to see genuine, hearty repentance and acts. You know, a dear man of God shares a story of how that they were going to a certain country, which was in South Africa, and they were going to preach. They gathered buses, did this, gathered this, told people that, oh, they will share this, they will do this, they will have medicals. So the people came, the whole place was jammed, he said. The whole place was jammed. Then, after preaching, which I believe wasn't exactly the right meal. Normally, when you don't give the right meal, you don't get the right substance imparted into them. So you get them disjointed. So after they preach, sometimes, how can you go for evangelism? And you are preaching some very funny things. Then when you are done, you call for altar call. What did they receive? You too, you go to preach, you say, no, not you too, but just in case you are here. Call altar call. You know, one time I went for a service and they had preached a message. Not entirely Jesus. Like, I don't know what the gospel is. I mean, I know what the gospel is, so I'm looking out for those facts of the gospel. Then when you finish, say, yes, give your life to Jesus. What correlation has the message you preached to give your life to Jesus? Like, we don't find Jesus in there. We don't find the facts of the gospel, which I'm going to show in 1 Corinthians 15, verse 1. We don't find it there. But then you say people should give their life. So you see the people get up and then they go forward. Because maybe it's a touching message or something. So they just, you know, sober a bit and then they move forward. But if you ask them, what did you get? What did you receive? They will not be able to tell you. Now, that's a questionable salvation. Because salvation is very specific. People of God, it's not confusing to be known if you are saved or not. It's very specific. The facts are very specific. So the man of God said that after they had preached, jammed, whole place, 2 weeks time, he now picked up a phone and picked someone's number. You know, people who give their lives to Christ. So he called. He said, yes, So, brother, sister, and so, hey, where did they call from? Say, are you not brother? He mentioned it. He said, yeah now. Say, were you not the one that gave your life? You know, actually, he gave his life for us, but he gave his life. So he has given his life. So then he now asked the guy. Then the guy now said, no, you know be me. He said, it's you. He said, no. He said, not me. But are you not brother? Then he mentioned the name. He said, oh, it's me. But are you not the one who? No, it's not me. So he said, his heart broke. Because millions were pumped. Right? Millions were pumped into having people jammed at a space. Then you go and preach something. Then you have them coming forward. In fact, they said they'll give them food and all. Yeah. Yeah. So the people had food and all, you know. So they have food. You know, first timers, they give you food. It's good. Yeah. If you were the one, wouldn't you always go for first timers meeting? Till they look at you and they say, hey, you. How many times have you received into your heart this Jesus? So he says his heart broke. His heart broke because he had seen zero work done. We must be very careful. If the devil cannot stop us from preaching, he will give us many things to preach about that is not exactly what we should preach about. We must know it carefully and clearly. First Corinthians chapter 2 verse 1 to 5. Don't preach your vision. Your vision can be shared, but that's not the preaching of the gospel. Are you listening? I hope somebody is not misinterpreting what I'm saying. First Corinthians 2 verse 1. And I, brethren, when I came to you, came not with excellency of speech or of wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of who? Of God. For I determined not to know anything among you, save what? Christ and Him crucified. I don't want to know anything. There is a message. And that message is what? Christ and Him crucified. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Second Corinthians chapter 4. Like I said, Paul could have preached. You see that when he said, I determined not to know anything amongst you except Christ and Him crucified. He could have said, you know, I am Saul of Tarsus. Listen to what I have to tell you. Listen to me. Have you heard the voice of God before? I've heard the voice of God. I know God's voice. Jesus, the Son of God, He spoke to me. Listen to what I'm telling you. A bright light, it shone on me. In fact, my eyes were blinded. In fact, there was a man also. You can go and check it. I'm Paul, Saul of Tarsus. Go and check. Ananias had to lay hands on me before my eyes were open. So therefore, I'm telling you that listen to what I'm saying. Will you listen to what I'm saying? Yes. Listen to us. Come to church. No gospel in there. No gospel in there. No gospel in there. No gospel in there. The facts of the gospel are specific. They are very specific. 1 Corinthians 15 verse 1. We're coming to a close. 1 Corinthians 15 verse 1. 1 Corinthians 15 verse 1. Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you. Do you see that there's a preacher? There's a preacher. There's a teller. There's somebody that tells the gospel. Specific. Specific. gospel is specific. Do you know? I was a prisoner in prison 64 years. Now look at me today. Look at me today. It's good. But you have not preached the gospel. Rehabilitation centers, they also do that. Are you listening to me? Rehabilitation centers do that. I was mentally drained. And look at me today. I am a free man. I have a lot of money. Come to Jesus. If you were the one, won't you come? If you are also mentally drained, you would come. Right? You know, there are many things that we must be careful about, that we perpetuate as the gospel. That's why I'm telling you, all of these things are good. I don't have a problem with all of these things. If you had been a prisoner for 64 years and Jesus has changed your life, do you understand? So you are telling people to come so that he will change their lives. You have not said the gospel. The gospel has facts, like I said, and those facts need to be explained clearly, simply, and carefully. Do you understand? Great. Now, God's love is that he gave Jesus for humanity. That is his love. Don't define more than that. God's basic love is that he gave what? Jesus. Now, what did Jesus come to do? He came to die, he came to be buried, he came to resurrect. Of course, there are facts of the gospel which comes with, you know, a power that is in the resurrection of the gospel. But I'm talking about the facts of the gospel. The facts of the gospel. Let me tell you something. Stick to the facts. Are you listening? Let me say something. Do you know there are people who have your definition of a good life, but they are not saved? What do you call a good life? Oh, let me hear you. A good life. What's your definition of a good life? Money, right? Do people have money? Who are not saved? They can pay you. They'll pay you. Sorry to say, they'll add your family and pay all of you together. Eh? When you go to stand before Bill Gates, tell me what you're telling. There's a common problem. Let's not take our eyes off the common problem. Is that man missed it with God? Man became a sinner. Man lost his relationship with God. God wants that relationship back. He sends himself as Jesus to restore man back to his place. Are you listening? A good life. Good health. Do you know there are people? I know of somebody. He has smoked for years. No lung, anything, nothing. And he's very strong. He checks everything. Perfect. What will you show him? If you say that your Jesus gives health, which he gives. Don't forget what I'm saying. But what are you going to tell him? Then that means that I don't need your Jesus. He said, come to Jesus. Have you seen my car? Say yes. Have you seen my house? Yeah, he can do the same thing for you. Oh boy. How many rooms is your house? 5-bedroom. Go and meet somebody who is not saved. He has 22. What would you show him? Now, why I'm doing this cutting is so we keep our eyes on what needs to be kept. Are you listening?
Yes.
A good life. Houses. Houses. Are there people who have houses without Jesus? Real estates. In fact, you have a house. They have a whole estate to themselves. They don't need Jesus. And that's why you see, whenever the wealthy hear believers, like, they want to puke. You know, when they hear believers, they want to puke. Because it's almost like, whatever you're saying, I don't have this. I don't have your Jesus, but I have what you are looking for. I have everything you are asking for. You say you gather and you are praying, Lord, open a door, open this door, marital door. They are Buddhists who are happily married, 85 years. They don't argue. Shinto is the same. Muslims who have been married 35 years. In fact, some of them have not even had promiscuous or outside affairs. Very religious, pious. What would you preach to this kind of a person when you meet the person? Marriage? He already has married. In fact, he has 4 of those. Your religion encourages you to have just one. He has 4. Do you understand? Come to Jesus and you pass your exam. Somebody passed the exam. Immediately they passed the exam, they went to the club. They are not born again, they enjoy themselves. You know, there are people like that. They will go everywhere. But the exam, they will still pass. What would you say? The gospel is specific. Don't be moved by things. The gospel is specific. Now, does it come with all of these advantages? It may or may not. Not every Christian is rich. And not every Christian is poor. So can we just stick to what God wants us to preach? Another good life before we go. Cars. People have cars. I'm sorry. People who have cars. Another good life. Relationships. Relationships. Networks. People have networks without Jesus. They can call the president of Saudi Arabia, call the president of Ghana, call the president of this without Jesus. What would you show? You know, the moment the gospel begins to fail to a certain class, it is fallible. And because we have an infallible gospel, it should meet every person in every class. Everybody has the same demands of what we preach. Everybody, whether you are rich, you are poor. You are married or unmarried. You have children, you don't have children. Do you understand what I'm saying? Good life. Traveling outside to jolly and wine and dine. Boss chicks travel outside without Jesus. In fact, their passports are stamped without they going for any sort of interview. Boss chicks is stamped with a boss. They just enter into the what will you show them? Your Jesus? What would you show me? Good life. Oh, you don't know good life. Good life. Fame. There are many people that are famous without Jesus. What else is a good life? What? Certifications. Come to Jesus, you get PhD 2 times. People have PhDs without Jesus. In fact, many PhD holders do not even see a need for Jesus. Many real PhD holders. There are many PhD holders. There are many doctors that don't even see the necessity of going to church. I'm a doctor. What would you show me? Yes, prove it to me. Why do I need your Jesus? Money, I have money. Cars, I have cars. You say house, I have house. Enjoyment, I blow my head off. Then when you bring in joy, then you see that it's lacking. You see that? So you see that he's not exactly in things. He brings virtues as well. Now he can give those things. Can you pray to God and have a car? Of course we pray to God for cars. Of course we pray to God for money. We pray to God for opportunities. We pray to God for all of these things. Good life. Sorry? Promotions. Come to Jesus. You get promotion. You can get promotion, but that's not why we preach. Good life. Good life. Oh, good life. Children. There are people who have served God faithfully and do not have children. Now that's a defect, but then it happens. But that shouldn't be the reason why you say that they are in Christ or they are not in Christ. Good life. Come to Jesus. You have been bounced and bounced and bounced. Other people have not been bounced. Without Jesus, they talk and they say yes. Another one. Good life. So you see, your good life is not it. I'm not saying your good life isn't good enough. I'm just saying it's not good enough compared to the gospel of Jesus Christ. Good life. Good life. So you see, even the good lives, they are not even a lot. Let's keep our eyes on the ball. Let's not get distracted. First Corinthians 15 verse 1. Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preach unto you, which also ye have received, wherein ye stand, by which also ye are saved. So the gospel is what saves us. Of course, it saves us from the power of sin, which is the power of darkness. Restores back our relationship with God, which the sinner does not have. By which also ye are saved, if ye keep in memory what I preach unto you, unless ye have believed in vain. If we want to have real believers, let's stick to the gospel. You know, Kenneth Hagin said something. This was around in the 80s. He said that when men received the gospel, they walked to the altar, understanding what had been done for them. And that caused them to give back their hearts to the one who gave them everything. So all the believers are more stronger in suffering, stronger in persecution, stronger in trials, stronger in temptations than believers who think, oh yeah, if we come, it will be well. Oh, this is what is going to happen. Oh, is it? God is going to protect my family if I believe in him. He protects families. But your correlation of your protection to that gospel is not exactly it. Do you understand what I'm saying? We need to know it and know it well. Don't get confused by what many people say. There is the gospel of Jesus Christ. And that gospel, if preached, Paul says in Romans 1:16, it's the power of God unto salvation. It's a word sozo. it saves a man. And that saving is a regeneration of his spirit to be like the one who gave up his life for him. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Because he's not talking about the outward man, because the outward man will continually perish day by day. But there's a recreation of the inward man. That man is welcomed into God's family, identifiable as God's own. Will never be cast away because he now belongs to God's family. And of course, there are rights and privileges of being in God's family. And we mustn't overlook that. But we must make sure that the gospel does not lose its stance whenever we stand before men. Because we want to help them get something. We want to teach them to become something. We want to do something for them. We want to show them. We want to show them. So we now say, you know, don't worry, just, and everything will be fine. No. No. And that's what produces firm believers. You know, when Christ is that firm foundation on which you stand, Christ, of course, his love in what he did in the death, burial, and resurrection for you, that you would receive eternal life. Don't get confused. For I delivered unto you first of all that which I received, how that Christ died for our sins. Do you see that? He died for our sins. We are helpless. Rich money is, we are not talking about riches here. The thing is that we all have a common problem. We are sinners. Say, so my range doesn't matter. Please, it doesn't matter. I'll give the church my range. Yes, so we need a range for other works. But that's not it. So we both have a common problem. Or let me say, you have a common problem. I had a common problem. Let's just put ourselves both in the boat. We both have a common problem. Is that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures. And that he was what? Buried. And that he what? Rose again the third day according to the scriptures. This is what is called the gospel. And this is what is good news. It's good news to the unbeliever. Rise to your feet. Tomorrow, we're going to continue our conversation. Begin to pray in the spirit. Begin to pray in the spirit. Je prata pata 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 Taba jebrato rabada kateba jebrete kateba teba toko bara kateba jebrakateba rabada kateba rakateba jebrata kabara kateba toko bara kateba takateba rakateba takateba rakateba takateba jebrata kabata kabara kateba takabata kabata kabata kabara takabata jebrakateba toko bata kabata 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 jebrata kaba manta taba lava jebrakata rataba jebrata kabara taba manta taba jebrata kabara
taba jebra taka taraba manta taba jebra katora taba jebra taka taba taba jata raba taba jebra taba 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 jebra taba 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 jebra kata para taba jebra kata para kata jebra kata para kata jebra kata para kata manta taba jebra kata laba jebra kata ragata ayaba taba jebra taka pa kaba taba jebra taba taba jebra kata para taba ayaba ta Rakata bajabra taka bala badava Ratata bajabra taka bareta viva shatata baragata Kata bala bajata rabada bajepete kata Mantata bala bajepete kata baragata Mantala bajabra taka baragata ba Ayabata bajabra tala barababa Rabata bajabra tala baragata ba Kabata bala bajabra taka bala bada Ayatata bajabra tabala badava Kata barabada bajata rabada ba Rekete bojabra tala bajabra tabala gada Kata bajabada bala baka bala baka ba Ratata bajabra tala barabada Kata ba Rakata bajata rabada ba Jabra taka ba lebra kata la ba Jabra kata la ba da ba Manto jabra teka teva zabada ba rada ba da Manta kata rada jabra tara ba 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 Manto robo jota ba da ka ba da ba Kata taba jabra taba la ba ka ba da ba zata ba da da ba Manta taba la ba jabra teka tishta Kabra shata la ba da ka pa la ba ta ba Rapa pa pa jata ka pa la ba ta ba Brasa taba taba jabra taba da ba da ba Rata taba jabra da ba da da ba We're preaching this gospel Shekete fa ta ba ta ba We're preaching this gospel Jabra da ba Manto zobra da ba Not things Not men Not experiences. Yes. The facts of the gospel. How that God loves humanity. Intends to save humanity. Giving of himself as Christ. In his death, burial and resurrection. And from that we who believe are turned from darkness to light. The power of Satan unto the power of God. And we receive remission or forgiveness of sin. This is the gospel, Jabratakapa, which we preach, which we tell, which we explain. Kianto Rapataba, Jambratakapada, Ropo Zoprateketeva, Pusha Pranteketa Lepetisha, Kapa, Patwa, Ratwa. Pratwa kepranta labada shapranta kapala bade jusha prata kapala bada ratatata kapala bada revete kete prosoto polopo kiantwa patwete kefe jambrata pala bada ba kalisha perosa patwante jepranta kapanta ratapa japrata pratakaba pranto joproto potopo. In Jesus' name we pray. Now, does Jesus provide our needs? Yes. Does he heal? Yes. Can he pay our transport fares? Yes. Can he give us traveling opportunities? Yes. Can he protect us? Yes. Can he do all of these natural things for us? Yes. Is that the gospel in itself? No. Are you listening? So we can have all of these emphasized or explained or expounded. But let's not forget what is the bullseye of our conversation. Are you listening? So can we just love him for what he has done for us? In that he gave of himself, he died, he was buried, and he resurrected. For the remission of the forgiveness of sin. Remember, before Jesus' coming, they were rich people. Are you listening? They were what?
Rich people.
They were rich people. They were financially buoyant people. While he was alive, there was Joseph of Arimathea. So you can see that there was a rich man before his coming. So his coming would not be exactly to make us rich, wealthy, flamboyant. Cars, money. Things. No, there's something he came to do. It's very specific. Let's not lose focus
of that. Are you listening? Is that he saw us. He loved us. While we were yet still sinners, he gave himself for us. He died, was buried, resurrected, that we all together would receive eternal life when we believe in what has been preached to us. Praise God.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.